Well, brethren, Scripture tells us that we are to be followers of God as dear children, walking in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. For we were once in darkness, but now we walk in light in the Lord, walking as children of light, proving what is acceptable to God. As Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 says, "For I say unto you that unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven." Something, brethren, that we need to keep in mind when walking on our journey with God. Brethren, let's begin. Let's turn to Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, verse 48, it says, "Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." We are to become like our Father. And during the year, we are to be committed to study in God's inspired Word, to help us to remember the examples and the blessings God gives us daily. Not to only study the Bible on the Sabbath day, but all year round, every day of our life. We are to understand God's way of life, the way that He desires His children, us, to live. And through these days of unleavened bread, we walk in a new life, leaving that old way of life behind us. We emerge as a new person, increasing our knowledge, increasing our learning, to walk humbly with God. Our goal is we are to become like the Father. Passover pictures Christ giving his life for us, that through the shed of his blood, our sins are forgiven. But we're not supposed to just stop right there. But we are to press on, removing sin from our life daily. And during these feast days, we are to walk towards perfection. Once again, becoming like our Father. We are to walk in the Spirit of God, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. But those that Christ have, they have crucified the flesh and its passions with desire. So if we live in the Spirit, brethren, let us also walk in the Spirit. Brethren, let's turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, picking up in verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ. Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So we see Jesus Christ emptied himself from being a Godhead, to be born physical flesh and blood, to walk on this earth, and to die for our sins. His blood washes away our transgressions from the second death. But it only does that, brethren, if we abide in his words and live according to his scriptures. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace and help in our time of need." God's holy days are a vital part of our life. They help us to understand God's master plan and salvation for all of mankind. God instituted the holy days to be observed throughout our generations. This week, the Days of Unleavened Bread is not just, one point, but very many points. But it's to help us not to forget the lessons that God has delivered his people. To remember that Christ was resurrected during the Days of Unleavened Bread. during this time period, and also to remember or to help us to be perfected, to walk on, or the perfecting of the saints. And the list goes on and on. So, brethren, a question I would ask is, why do you come to celebrate these feast days of unleavened bread? Well, let's start with the basics. We always want to start on the basics and build on that foundation of truth. So if we turn back to the beginning of Exodus, Exodus chapter 12, and picking up in verse 15, it says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No matter of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. Verse 17 says, So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. One of the reasons, brethren, why we are here, because God has commanded us to keep this feast day. And we are here celebrating with Him. For He has delivered, God has delivered us out of bondage. Are we thankful, brethren, that God has given us the opportunity to come before Him to celebrate and rejoice with Him and Jesus Christ during this feast? See, we are to be no longer part of this world, but to be of God's ways, walking to perfection, taking on God's very own nature. Are we still in the world? Physically, yes. But spiritually, we have come out of the world by overcoming society, having our minds changed and transformed, focusing on God and Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we're not to conform to this world. We are to change our minds from the world's ways and be transformed to God's ways, renewing our mind and proving all things. Learning, we're to learn. Knowing, we are to know, and we are to understand what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we read in the Bible and hear messages on how we are not to love the world, and messages today of what this feast represents, unless, brethren, we have totally surrendered our life to God, this is a concept we will never be able to fully understand because of the influence the world has on us. So we need to do away with the world, get it out of our lives, and focus more on God and His way. See, we can, however, overcome the world as Jesus Christ overcome the world. But it takes God's Holy Spirit to do so. And the more that we let God lead and guide our life, the more we understand God. Because we are killing off the old man, that human nature that is inside of us, and allowing Jesus Christ to live through us. This is why we need to be asking God daily for our bread, which is His spiritual food that He feeds us. Do you have an intimate relationship with our Father? Do we have an intimate relationship with our Father? Do we have confidence in God that He is our protector and our provider? Do we cling to God as our lifeline who protects and gives us safety? Do we run to God like a little child, running to his parents for safety when someone is chasing after them? See, we are to continue examining ourselves, working to be like our Father, perfect in every way. Our actions should be the same as that little child. We need to flee from the world and cling to God, where there is true peace and true safety. We have to be willing to follow and willing to be taught God's way of life. We cannot learn if we are not humble. We cannot learn if we do not want to be teachable. So we have to be teachable. Because, brethren, there has been many people who were once in the church or in the body that they have gone back to their old way of life. Why? A question that always intrigues me is, how do you get to the point of proving that what you once believed about Christianity was wrong, to give up everything you knew about it? Some even gave up their families to follow a way of life, to walk in the new direction that was contrary to the way that they were once walking, and then simply turn back to it, go back to their old lifestyle as if it was just a mere hiccup in their life. Why? Was it because they did not stay close to the trunk of the tree? Was it that they did not prove all things? Or could it be that they just simply did not understand? As Matthew 22:14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. Brethren, do we understand the voice of our Father on what He wants each one of us to become? Let's turn to 1 Kings 8. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61, it says, let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and keep His commandments as at this day. See, if we're not perfecting our hearts, following God, obeying His voice, then we are lovers of the world. And the love of the Father is not in us, because we choose the desires of the world over the desires of God. A phrase that we like to use in our language is, you're just sitting on the fence. We're waiting to see what side of the grass is going to be greener. We don't think about that the grass is going to need to be mowed and tended on each side. We're just thinking what looks better, what feels good at this time. But brethren, let's not think about sitting on the fence. It's dangerous, and it leads to death. We shouldn't even have the desire to even want to run or see the fence in our line of sight. We want to flee from it and not see it at all. May we distance ourselves between the world and ourself and cling to God and hold on to Him. Like I said, run to Him for safety. We must be unified with God. We must be one with God, as Jesus Christ and God the Father are one. We are to become like the Father. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. See, we're to be unified with God. We walk by faith, not by sight. We give God glory and honor to become mature in the understanding of God. And as we mature, we come to the point in our life that whatever we do it in the unity of faith and knowledge and the fullness of Jesus Christ. Putting it in one sentence, we're going to do it the same way Jesus Christ does it, because we want to become just like the Father. Jesus Christ is our perfect role model. Are we clinging hold of Him? Are we grabbing Him and not letting go? Brethren, as Colossians 3, verse 2 says, it says, set your affections on the things above and not on the things of this earth. No matter how good we think we do something, we are nothing but a whisper of air, a breath, or a moment in time. Are we pleasing ourselves, or are we pleasing God? See, man without God is nothing, but God without man is still God. So are we laying our treasures on the earth, or are we laying up treasures in heaven? The best the world has to offer is nothing compared to what God has to offer or has in store for those who love Him. Let's turn to Colossians 3, since we are talking in this book. Colossians 3, verse 2, I just quoted that, set your minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Verse 3 says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, if we're walking by faith and not by sight, we have given up everything to follow Jesus Christ. We've given up our old way of life, and we have been renewed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ being the perfect sacrifice, slain from the foundation of the world, that our sins may be forgiven. As verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we can see, brethren, that Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. And no man comes to the Father except by Jesus Christ. And if we know Jesus Christ, then we know the Father also. So, brethren, are we striving towards the kingdom of God in our life? Are we learning to walk closer to God this year than we did the same time last year? We are to walk towards perfection, to be just like Jesus Christ and God our Father. Jesus Christ, once again, he gave up everything, gave up being a Godhead to come down to die for us. And he had the willingness, brethren, the willingness to be beaten and bruised to the point that he was disfigured. And then he was slain so our sins could be covered from his blood and we can be cleaned from sin. What are we willing to sacrifice for Jesus Christ? See, Jesus Christ gave us the perfect example. He gave us the definition of true sacrifice. We can read it in John 15. John chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. When I read this, I try to pay close attention to verse 16. Because we read it, but I think sometimes we don't put emphasis on it. But verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command to you, that you love one another. So we can see it's not just one moment in time or one holy day that we focus on. It takes the entire holy days in the plan of God to understand where we're going. And we can see that observing the Passover, it renews our commitment with God. So it starts there. Then we examine ourselves. We probably examine ourselves more during this time of season than we probably do all year. Because with the Passover season, we do want to make sure that we are humbly taking the Passover in a humble manner. But we're also testing ourselves, brethren, to see if we are in the faith. We're proving to ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And becoming, and also proving that we are faithful followers of God and servants to Jesus Christ. So what should our main goal be? To become like the Father. 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 14, it says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. See, we're to be holy as God is holy, to become just like the Father. So let us, brethren, cleanse ourselves from the all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, that we, brethren, may go on to perfection. To be perfect in our lives. Some may say that it is a fulfillment or completion of being perfected, as an end accomplishment to an effect of a process of being fulfilled. But as we walk with God in the life, we are to remove ourselves from anything that contradicts God's laws and to show ourselves approved and honorable to God. We are to give complete, total surrender to God and allowing Christ to live completely in us, giving us strength that we may be complete. See, God's ways are perfect. The choice we have to make is, do we want to be like God, who is perfect and desires to share His way with us for all eternity? Or do we want to be like man, who cannot solve his simplest problems, but he wants to keep everything for himself and not share? See, mankind can never be satisfied because he craves so much stuff. He always wants more. So, brethren, who do we resemble? Do we resemble God, or do we resemble man in our life? Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7, we'll pick up there. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. See, when we choose to live God's way of life, we are willing to give up everything to follow Jesus Christ. We are making God number one in our life. And the holy days, we are learning to understand what God is doing for His people, His children. When we give up everything, in one sense, we have signed our death warrant, if you want to look at it that way. We have put a big bullseye on our back for Satan and the world to come after us. When times of troubles enter our life, we must remain steadfast to God, regardless of the consequences. Remember the little child. He runs to his parents for peace and safety. Are we running to our Father for safety when trials arise in our life? As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, one thing Paul never forgot, he always kept his mind or his eyes on the big picture, and that was the kingdom of God. So if we live, we live to God. And if we die, we die to God. Whether we live or die, we belong to our Father. See, God has delivered us. He has opened our eyes. He has removed that veil that He has brought us out of bondage. That is a gift from God. He heard the Israelites crying, wanting to be delivered, and God did so. And He did it with a mighty hand. We are to go out by examples and help show others they too can come out of bondage. With the renewing of the Passover and the observing of the feast days, we are to be living sacrifices to Jesus Christ, fulfilling Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. As it says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are to become a living sacrifice acceptable to God. Let's turn back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Remember, we're not to even love the smallest things that the world has to offer. Anything that is contrary to God's way of life is sin. And a little sin, pictured as leaven, leavens the whole lump. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from God, but it is from the world, who its father is the father of lies, which we know as Satan the devil. For the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he that does the will of God abides forever. So, brethren, we have a lot of blessings that God has given to us. One thing it's always that I look at, it's always easy to count all the things that happen to you than it is to count all the blessings. But God has given us tremendous amounts of blessings. Are we thankful for what God is doing in our life? We are to rejoice in the Lord always, and let our gentleness be known towards all men. So you can see, brethren, we can't have it both ways. We're to either love God or we're going to love the world. And if we love God, we will receive the blessings that He has in store for each one of His children. But if we choose the world, curses will be upon us. We can read that in Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you." This is for anybody who's not going to do it God's way. It says, verse 2, "If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart." See, as an example, a son honors his father. A servant honors his master. God being our spiritual father, are we giving him honor? And if he is our master, do we give him reverence? See, God commands us to praise and worship him. And God is worthy to be praised. So let us not be tempted and fall into the deception that Satan has on the world. Let us not justify wrongful actions, but let us flee from sin and become like the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it said, "No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Here's another one of those scriptures that I ask questions about, because when I read the verse, God, who is faithful, who will never allow us to go through a trial without a way of escape, and promises he'll never give us more than we can handle, why then does he give us a way of escape? Because he just said, "I'm not going to give you more than you can bear." Well, I think one of the reasons, and I said one of the reasons, is because we give up on God and we try to go through the trial on our own strength and our own knowledge, our wisdom. But once again, God, being the merciful God he is, comes and delivers us out of that. He is so merciful that he delivers us from that trial. We are constantly being delivered by God daily in our lives. And most of the time, we are not even aware of it. See, God receives all the glory. And the more that we understand God, the more righteous life we can live before men, that they may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Let's turn to Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." See, we can be taught God's way of life. But there comes a time in our life to where our teaching must become understanding. See, we can teach children. We can teach animals. We can teach each other. And children, animals, they will obey the voice of their master. They just may not understand it, but they obey the voice of their master. See, we're to have God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. See, mankind has the opportunity to become like God in Jesus Christ, but we have to be able to understand what God wants His children to do. We just can't go through the motions. If God is not reigning in our life 100%, then we're allowing something else to take His place. And we must be well balanced in our spiritual life, walking and talking with God. See, no matter how righteous our life or we live our life, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's holy days are so important to us because without them, we would have no understanding who the true God really is and also what future He has for His family. We have the opportunity to be potential God, something that Satan and his demons would never have a chance to become. So, of course, they would want everyone else to fail for the revenge of their own vanity. We are to be setting ourselves the goal to run the race, to one day be born into the spiritual family of God. A question I'd like to ask is, are we living the quality of life God expects us to live? That quality of life of being perfect and complete so that nothing is wanted. Living the highest obtainable state of excellence, walking perfectly with God. See, brethren, it's either it's a yes or a no. Are we like the world, or are we becoming like the Father, walking towards perfection? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, if we say that we have not fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word is not in us. So, brethren, this is why we are here today, keeping the days of unleavened bread, to learn how to walk humbly with God and to be complete, observing all that God has commanded. With the blood of Jesus Christ poured out for our sins, let us walk pure towards perfection, seeking God and His way of life. The feast is not only about how God delivered Israel from Egypt, but how He delivers us daily in each one of our lives. It's not just removing sin from our life, but also to focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. From the dead and through His sacrifice of the pouring out of His blood, our sins are forgiven and we walk a new way of life, carrying that very nature of God. And as we learn more about this feast day, let us rejoice for all of His marvelous ways that we are able to learn. Let's turn, brethren, to 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, one of those promises that God has given us is that we shall be called children of God. That we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself just as Christ is pure. A day that we, brethren, can look forward to with pleasurable confidence and expectations. See, God is our strength and our power. And He makes our ways perfect. He is the one that does the delivering in our life. God takes care of us. But we have to do our part. We have to be willing. We have to be teachable. We have to have understanding. And we have to have the humble attitude to succeed. See, God's laws are perfect. His statutes are right. His judgments are true and righteous. And as we ask God for His understanding, He makes the simple wise in His knowledge. So as we come to the close of this feast day, this service, this first part of the day, let us continue to examine ourselves, seeking out the sin that separates us from God. May we become like obedient children, obeying the voice of our father and older brother. And as now we count towards the day of Pentecost, let us not forget the lessons that God has written us for those examples. But in closing, let's turn to Matthew 18. We kind of started here, and we can end here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 2. It says, "And Jesus called a little child to Him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" See, we must become obedient children of God, walking with God, becoming like the Father, to put on God's very own nature, that we may be one with Him. So, brethren, let's have and let's behave in our lives wisely, in a perfect way, seeking God continually in all things, giving thanks and praise to Him for delivering us out of our bondage into His marvelous light.